there was one individual, and he was traveling on his means of transportation, and he was eating chana, it's like a dal, lentil. And while he was eating, one grain or one piece of that lentil or chana fell onto the ground. So all of the remaining pieces went with him in his hand, but one piece fell onto the ground. So he stopped his transportation, disembarked, picked up the piece of chana, the lentil, blew on it, said Bismillah, and ate it. And afterwards, eventually, when he passed away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he met his Lord, and then Allah ta'ala sent him into Jannah, into paradise. And Allah ta'ala said to him that, the reason why I have sent you into paradise, do you know which deed of yours was liked by me? And he said, Allah, I have no deeds. I can't even remember I did anything good. And Allah ta'ala said, from all of your deeds, the deed that was most beloved to me was that when you were eating those Jannah, the lentil pieces, and one piece, one grain fell on the ground, and you disembarked, picked it up, and you ate it. And you appreciated and respected the rizq, the food I had given to you, the sustenance, and you respected that, you appreciated it. Allah Ta'ala said, I love that action, I like the action, and due to that action, I have forgiven you. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, His mercy, Allah Ta'ala's favor, His blessings, and you can say sunnah, sunnat-e ilahi, and dazi ilahi. In other words, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the style of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what Allah ta'ala likes. Now we don't understand this point, that what does Allah like, what Allah ta'ala doesn't like. And we think, oh, maybe Allah likes this, and we run after that action, but Allah ta'ala likes other things, looks out for other qualities from the human being. So all of this points to the fact that the connection, the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, and his creation is delicate. So what should a person do? The learning here is that an individual should be careful, cautious, don't take risks, especially with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our connection with him. We should be very careful, very cautious. We shouldn't think, oh, this is okay, I'll just leave this, or it's alright, fine. But we may think that this is okay and Allah Ta'ala doesn't like it, and then thereafter Allah will say that you thought this action was good, and Allah Ta'ala will say that I disliked what you said at that time, what you did, and I send you to Jahannam. Who can stop the Qadir-i Mutlaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the life of a mu'min, of a believer. And the life of a mu'min, of a believer, the most important part is caution, to be careful. Allah is the Rabb, He is the Khaliq, He is the Creator, Ar-Rahman, He is merciful, He is the Qadir, He is in control, and everything goes due to His decision and whatever Allah Ta'ala ordains. How can a person not understand this or not stay within Allah Ta'ala's power? Allah Ta'ala, these are all His countries, vegetables Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah has given us food, Allah has given us corn and wheat, and Allah may like, we don't know what Allah Ta'ala may be. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has created, let's take these chana, the lentil pieces, the grains. Allah Ta'ala says, everything I've created in the world is beloved to me. This created for a reason. And these pieces of the grains of the chana dal, He respected. Rather, He didn't respect the chana dal. He respected His Rabb, His Lord. And He had recognition that Allah is the one who's created me and this food. And out of respect for Allah, He disembarked. This is a big thing, to stop, to disembark, and then with respect to pick it up, to eat it. Think about it. Why? Because my Rabb, He has given us this food. I must respect it. Adab. This is adab. Yeah. So my friends, this is the reality that the elders, the pious elders, they have stated that the biggest quality and thing that is looked out for, especially in the khanqas and other places, is adab, are the manners and the behavior of a person. If you go to a khanqa, a place where a teacher gives rectification to the students, the first thing that is attained or is seen, witnesses, adab, manners, qualities, and recognizing the need to have good behavior. Because this is the pivot point, the hinge. If Allah Ta'ala can forgive on this action of that man who stopped and he respected Allah Ta'ala's rizq, so those people who are traveling on the path of Allah, what will be their destination? What will be their link with Allah? What will be their maqam due to their adab, due to their manners, due to their respect? So this is what's taught. Respect and regard and manners. All of us, me, I'm a student, you are students, our maqsad, the objective is to arrive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's one way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one path. to get to Allah. Ibadah, we have lots. So much ibadah and worship. Yet there's ibadah upon ibadah upon ibadah. But the path to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And no ibadah will make us get to Allah. No ibadah, no worship will take us to Allah unless we follow this path, this method. And what is that method? Tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. Rectification and purification of the soul, of the inner state. Now tazkiyah is a path. If we embark on this path, we will reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when there is purification and cleanliness, then the ibadah will be accepted. The worship will be accepted. If I pray salah, inside me is kibar and pride and envy, or I'm doing hajj and within me is greed, extreme greed, I'm doing recitation of Quran, tilawat, and I read the tafsir and the commentary, and inside I have the desire to attain fame and glory. I'm doing hifth of Quran, memorizing Quran, and I recite beautifully qirat, but I have a desire that I want people to listen to me and praise me. So let's think about this. Will these ibadat make me get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness? They won't, will they? So the first step we have to take to reach to Allah, say it loudly. Loud tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is we need to clean ourselves within. Within. We need to wash and clean ourselves within. And if we don't do this, we don't purify ourselves, then no ibadah will be useful or beneficial. It will not become worship. So if we keep on allowing the impurities to grow onto the impurities and to increase and multiply, and we don't listen, that what does Allah Ta'ala want to us from us? Allah says that I want ikhlas from your ibadah. I want sincerity. I want you to be a mukhlis. That is the deed. Those deeds will be accepted by me and will reach to me if they have ikhlas. Allah says, I want khalis, pure deeds. Pure deeds. Allah says, call out to me, do ibadah. But Allah says, mukhlisina lahuddin, that the deed should be khalis, pure and sincere deen is what I want from you. So the meaning of tazkiyah is that from this tazkiyah, this is what we want, that our salah, alhamdulillah, is accepted. Yeah, we can't leave salah, can we? It's fard. We must pray. But we want it to be accepted. And when we do tilawat of Quran, may Allah Ta'ala accept it. This is our objective. We go on hajj, we want Allah Ta'ala to accept it. Don't we? So, all of these ibadat and many others, to get them accepted, we need to do tazkiyah and purification to clean ourselves so that they're accepted. And those who don't think on this point, who don't consider that purification is important, they think it's okay, I'll just live like this the way I am, everything's fine, then they are in a dangerous situation. But Allah Ta'ala gives this understanding to very few people today, in this day and age, very few people. But then there's another point here, that tazkiyah, the subject of tazkiyah, some people embark upon it, study it, and are progressing along the path of tazkiyah, but they don't succeed. The few that do take hold of this subject, and from amongst those few, some people don't succeed. People 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, they are following, they are practicing the tazkiyah, but they're not succeeding. The reason is that the asool, the principles of tazkiyah, we do not implement. So if we don't implement the principles, then how will we be successful? This is not some empty void subject. This is such a great subject of the deen. Tazkiyah, that all of our ibadat, worship actions, tazkiyah is the wudu, the cleaning, the ablution to prepare for the ibadat. So we are doing wudu. When you're doing tazkiyah, you're saying, Allah, I'm cleaning and purifying myself so that all of my deeds are accepted. So we have to be very cautious when we do this wudu, when we do tazkiyah. So mashallah, we are all salik, we are students, so we should understand that just coming and sitting and doing dhikr and fulfilling our wazaif and we'll become successful. Totally not. As I said, close to Allah Ta'ala is like and dislike. What is it that Allah likes? What is it that Allah Ta'ala dislikes? And it's up to Allah. But yes, we should accept the principles that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We should practice them, implement them, and then success will come. So tomorrow, it shouldn't be that we say, oh, I did dhikr, and Allah did mujahidah, and I made so much effort, and I followed the sunnah, and I did dhikr, and I'm successful. This is not necessarily the case. So, if we implement the principle that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and we practice that, and that people learn in the khankas, and people who sit with the wali of Allah, they learn, then the dhikr of Allah that we do will work, and purification will be attained, and then success will be attained. Success. Now, in this point, in tazkiyah, And many times we discuss and mention these points, and we discuss tazkiyah, the sawwuf, and in the khanqahs, this is what is discussed, and this dhikr takes place. And the mashayikh, they remind the students, the teachers remind the students that what are the principles of the sawwuf and of tazkiyah. The most important point of tazkiyah, of purification of the soul and the heart, where does tazkiyah start from? That is the connection between the teacher and the student. That's the number one step and the most important point. A strong connection. So the sheikh, the teacher, peer, murshid, whatever name you can say in English, in Urdu, in Farsi, in Hindi, you can say, isn't it? In Hindi, they say, guru, is this your guru? Meaning your sheikh, your leader. So brothers, nisbat with the sheikh, the connection between the sheikh and the murid, the connection between the teacher and the student is a very, very important factor. And where this is the initiation point, and if you succeed in the initiation point, get it right, then remember, where did this all start from? The greatest muallim, teacher, and where were the greatest students? Never have they come before greater than this, nor have people witnessed, nor will we witness. Who is the muallim? The teacher, Imam al-Anbiya, Nabi al-Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who were his students? The Sahaba ikram, the noble companions, mashallah. And this scene, never again will it be witnessed or seen in the world greater a teacher or students than the Prophet Muhammad SAW and the Sahaba, because the Quran and the Hadith teach us these factors and points. Because the whole universe, the world, Allah Ta'ala constructed and manufactured, sent mankind to the world. Allah Ta'ala said, I want you to take the guidance from the Muallam Azim, from the greatest teacher. Allah Ta'ala sent him to spread faith into the world. So Allah Ta'ala wanted after the Khalifas to be continuing the work. And then, so who were the Khalifas? So the greatest teacher was Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his greatest students were the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. And at that time, before Islam came, there were people, they didn't have respect. There was jahalat. Sometimes they're talking to each other, then they'll suddenly grab the other person's beard or stroke the other person's beard or pull someone's kameez. And if, for example, if they're talking to each other, they would put their hands onto the other person's beard, because they were, you could say, maybe illiterate, uneducated, or didn't have the adab or manners or respect. The question didn't arise. So at that place where there was extreme disrespect or lack of manners and respect and due regard, adab came to that scenario, to that society. Allah Ta'ala sent that message via the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to teach the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very haleem and gentle and considerate and full of love, that he himself Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not tell the Sahaba anything or say anything. He said, no, I will not say anything. Whatever they did or said, he would be smiling. Somebody was pulling someone's neck, somebody's blanket, somebody's cloak, somebody's beard, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not say nothing to them. He would not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew and can see everything, obviously. And Allah ta'ala saw here that his students, the first students of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all of the ibadah, they may learn it and worship, but they will only be successful at that time when their link with their sheikh is strong. When their connection with their sheikh is strong. If the connection is not strong, then they will not become sahaba. Doesn't matter how much Quran comes to them, how much they learn, how much ilm they have. But if the nisbat between the student and the sheikh is not mazboot, strong, then they will not benefit. Allah knew this, so Allah Ta'ala himself decided, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak. So Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi. Allah Ta'ala said, O people of Iman, O you who believe, be careful of one thing. Be very careful that this is tazkiyah, that this ilm that you are learning, purification of the heart, and to learn this subject and education and ilm, Allah Ta'ala says the first step, the first manzil, is that between you and your teacher there should be adab, respect. Between the sheikh and the murid, there should be adab and manners. That's the first step on the ladder. This is the first kitab that the murid should read, is that who is the sheikh and what is the student and how is the relationship of the teacher and the student and how to respect and have adab for the teachers. And there's a big result of this, that this line that you and me are treading along, there's a very big result from this subject of tasawwuf, because we attain irrizai alahi, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's nearness. So tazkiyah is not a small thing. Tazkiyah is a very essential component of Islam. So the Sahaba Ikram, big jamaat, big group, and Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. And Allah Ta'ala took such a point, just this point, in other words, to demonstrate that if this is the consequence of not having manners, then what will be the consequence of all of the other bad manners? So Allah Ta'ala wasn't going to go through every single point. Allah Ta'ala took the voice. The voice, Allah Ta'ala said, La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi. Allah Ta'ala said, the adab you should have, O companions, O sahaba, that if you want to become proper students of the Prophet Muhammad, if you want to be a true murid, then what should be your respect and adab? That lift not up your voices above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad. Your voices should not be higher in volume than the Prophet. And if you are sitting in the mehfil, in the gathering of the Prophet Muhammad, then be careful about what you speak about. Don't speak loudly. And don't shout when speaking to him like you shout to one another. Because Allah Ta'ala said this here. Subhanallah. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْدِ. That don't speak shout to the Prophet like the way that you shout to each other. So imagine when the Sahaba Ikram heard this verse and it was revealed. Imagine their hal at that time, their emotion, their reaction. What was the consequence that Allah Ta'ala mentioned? That if they didn't do this, a big punishment. Allah Ta'ala said, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْرُونَ. All the ibadat you're doing, salah, dhikr, Quran, etc. Everything you're doing. Allah Ta'ala said, for this reason, if you disrespect the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you speak louder than him and you shout, and this is just one example, and other adab as well, then Allah Ta'ala said, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala said that if you don't take heed and listen, then lest your works be rendered vain. This will be the conclusion. Remember, the nisbat with the shaykh, if you have the connection with the teacher, then you are going on the path to Allah. Dhikr of Allah will not give this. No other ibadah, doesn't matter if you do dhikr all night long. If the student is not mukhlis with his shaykh, sincere with the teacher, he can or she can never succeed on this path of tazkiyah to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Impossible. It's difficult. Very difficult indeed. The nafs, when it is crushed, due to the student having respect for the teacher, the nafs is crushed because the diseases that are within, they are such shaitani illnesses, or arrogance, or being too persistent, or lots of bad actions. Because a person, when he comes towards shaitan, then he does bad actions. So Allah knows how to remove the bad actions and disease in the heart. Person, he considers he's very great, very respectful. He has to come and meet his shaykh and do bayah, and then become a student. And he'll have to come from the heights to low down. When it's said that you have done bayah now you'll have to do this, and you'll become this, and you'll become a student. That from the heavens, or from the high status in society, you have to drop yourself down to the ground level. Then you'll become a dharra. Then when you become a dharra, then the kibr comes out, the pride comes out. But the people who don't follow this path, and they don't worry about the pride or the arrogance or etc., then it's told to them that keep carrying on all your life long. Keep carrying on. Your amal, if you carry on with disrespect and bad adab to the teacher, then Allah Ta'ala says, first of all, أَنْتَحْبَتَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ, that your deeds will be rendered vain. And Allah says, the worst punishment is, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, while you don't even know that this is happening, while ye perceive not. Allah Ta'ala says that maybe, that if you realize what your mistake is, what should you do? When the student sees he's made a mistake, he does tawbah, he repents, and Allah is Rahim, Kareem, Allah Ta'ala forgives. If a person cries and regrets in tawbah, Allah will forgive. But Allah Ta'ala says that this sin of raising your voice above the Prophet ﷺ and shouting in front of him, Allah says that I will render all your deeds in vain. They will go to waste, won't be accepted. Allah says, you want to come to me, near to me. Allah says, this is such a big sin, disrespect. Allah Ta'ala says that you can carry on thinking you're fine, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, but all of your deeds will go to waste and you won't even know it. I won't even let you realize. This is the worst punishment. Allah says, I won't let you feel that you're doing wrong. I won't let you realize. And then on the day of judgment, when you come, then you will see that your sheet of deeds, your record book of deeds, is totally plain and blank. So what's the effect of the Sahaba Ikram to us? Look how Allah Ta'ala taught the adab, and within a second the buddhus, the nomads, the villagers became the lovers of Rasulullah. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said that we were eating at that time, when we got an opportunity to eat in a gathering and Rasulullah was there, then we would not even dare that we put our hand forward to take the food until the Prophet would not put the food in his mouth. So now we see the history, and you would be shocked and amazed at the status of adab and respect for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the blessed water of wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram would not allow one drop to fall to the ground. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did wudu, they would catch the falling droplets of water and they would use that water. The people who are around the Muslims said, we have seen big kings and leaders and the courts of kings, but the respect that these companions give to their master, their sheikh, the teacher Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is incomparable. People accepted that totally pure and honest tariqah. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that when this verse was revealed, has Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who was the highest grade companion, what was his hal? He took pebbles and put them into his mouth, and he said that it's just me with regards to the person who this verse was revealed for, it's me. He said, until death now, I will not speak to the Prophet openly. And then he said, I'll put the pebbles in my mouth, then I will speak. I'll be cautious and careful. There was another companion, and his volume would be high. You know, naturally some people, they speak loudly. Then he locked himself up in his room, in his home. He locked himself up, and he wouldn't come out of his room. He said that my volume's too high, and this verse was revealed for me. And then, unless the Prophet ﷺ calls me himself, I will not be satisfied. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, what a great companion. All his life, he had such a heavy voice that it was difficult to hear what he was saying. He had a heavy voice. Subhanallah. But everyone's approach changed due to adab. Allah Ta'ala was teaching here adab in this Quranic verse, Surah Hujurat. So Allah Ta'ala tells us the first step of the tasawwuf, of tazkiyah, is adab, the connection, the manners, the respect for the shaykh. Then the heart opens. Then the connection between the murid and the teacher strengthens. And in the khanqah, speak about the old khanqah, these used to be the environment in the khanqahs. The shaykh and the murid, the teacher and the student, the murid used to be very careful, very cautious, that if he made a mistake, he would run to his shaykh, that I've made a mistake, or maybe I'm wrong on this, please forgive me. Please forgive me. So this is the subject of the tasawwuf. Yes, we have the tasawwuf, but we need to follow the principles of the tasawwuf. The principles. It's a very great result if the person follows the principle and the mannerisms and the behavior. So the relationship between the sheikh and the student starts from the first rung on the ladder, which equals adab. So the tasawwuf isn't just you learn dhikr from a sheikh and you do dhikr and I'm fine. No. Rather, the elders in the deen have said that more important than dhikr is to have respect for the sheikh. Because if we don't have respect for the sheikh, then dhikr will not have an impact or an effect. That's why many murids fail in this path. Many murids, as a Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah, he had the title Sayyidul Ta'ifa. And he stated that the person who has left respect and manners for his sheikh, in other words, the student who has left, who does not respect or his sheikh or hold his sheikh in high esteem, then we have to realize that that is the worst person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala dislikes that person the most, who disrespects the sheikh and the teacher. And all of adab and manners and respect has a link with what? Not with our hands or our feet, but with the qalb, with the heart. Because faiz that comes from the sheikh, it emanates from the heart, not from the eyes. So when we sit in maraqabah, dhikr of the heart, we look towards our sheikh and we put our hearts in front of ourselves in the gathering. Then we say, Allah, the rahmat that's coming into the heart of my sheikh, Allah please distribute that to me. So in tasawwuf, people see with their eyes that this is what happens, that the nur, it comes into the majlis, nur comes into the heart of the sheikh, then the sheikh's heart emits that nur, and there are all students around the sheikh. Some people, they draw in that nur very quickly, like an ocean or river fasting flow, and others it comes in very slowly, like a thin line, because everyone's got different capacity. Why is there a difference? The same point comes back up. The same point, that the person who is following the principles, alhamdulillah, then he gets total faiz and benefit, total 100%. And the person who is a disrespectful, he won't. So a sheikh stated that 5-10 minutes of maraqabah with the sheikh is so good, so powerful, as if the person is immersed in the ocean at that time, the ocean of Allah's mercy. And when after 5 or 10 minutes the student comes out, when the salik comes out, it's stated that that person, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, if he has the bigger bowl, the bigger pot, the bitter, like he, and he goes to the gathering, he will leave with more in his pot. And those who go without a pot, without a bowl, they just leave the gathering and their clothes are a little bit wet. My brothers, we have to make effort, mehna, we have to look towards the hereafter. If we go on the day of judgment, how sad if our prayer is not accepted, if our hajj is not accepted, if our umrah is not accepted, how sad a day will be. We'll be shocked. So then it's not about effort physical, is it? Just no, here shaitan, he instills his whispering into our ears. Very big, great mashaykh, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, stated the principle of the tasawwuf. And he said the first point here, the first step, he said that the person who doesn't respect his shaykh, who doesn't have adab or manners for his shaykh, doesn't have good regard and have good manners, he can never be successful, never. He can never be successful. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah has written this, that the student who is disrespectful, he can never succeed or progress on the path of the tasawwuf, and never can he be successful here. And there's another great sheikh, Hazrat Ali bin Tabaq rahmatullah alayhi, Tabaq, And there's another Shaykh, Hazrat Ali bin Wafa. He's also a great pious elder, pious predecessor. So Hazrat Ali bin Tabaq. Now here we have to say that this may look insignificant to us, but the Quran has said this, that you won't even know that your deeds will disappear and be eliminated. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They come, the murids, the students, and sit in the company of the Shaykh, but they criticize the Shaykh. Why did this happen? Why did Shaykh do this? Why did my teacher say this? We could do this. Why don't we do like this? We don't even have respect to have that sort of mentality, that if a student opposes any word or action of the Shaykh. Why? Because if we don't have total i'tiqad in the Shaykh, to go, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani said that the student who doesn't have kamil 100% i'tiqad and belief and trust in his Shaykh, he's wasting his time. And the definition of trust and conviction of the Shaykh is that everything that comes to the student is bi'idhnillahi. How the Shaykh is teaching you dhikr, why, how much you have to do, where are you going, do this, do that, don't do this. So our job is to follow the teacher. To follow, not sit down. If he says sit all night, sit all night. If he says go after an hour, do after an hour. Come to me, then come. If he doesn't call, then we don't go. In other words, it is 0% choice of the student of what he should do or not do. That every second the student accepts that I am now on the path of Allah, I'm traveling on the path of Allah, and however Allah Ta'ala wants me to travel, I will follow this, and my nafs will be crushed if I follow the advice of the Shaykh. Because we are signing our hearts to Allah, we're saying we have pledged ourselves to the Shaykh, to the teacher, and the Shaykh is guiding. We accept that Allah Ta'ala has given us this. But if the student says, no, why did Shaykh say this? Why did he say don't do this? Why did he say do this? There's a big punishment for this. Allah says, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You won't even know that your deeds are disappearing. And who's telling us this? Such a great Shaykh, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ramtara, has told us this, and we should become alert that if any student opposes or criticizes the Shaykh or doubts the Shaykh, he says, I'm doing dhikr, I read Quran, and I sit and do this and that. But the Shaykh is the Shaykh how he is. And just like Imam al-Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad was with the Sahaba, so if the student says, you're wrong, Shaykh, you've done wrong, etc., then he is doubting. And then, at that time, just like Rasulullah said, what can I do to the companions that they have no respect or adab? Allah Ta'ala then came in and sent the verse. And the same way, the Shaykh, after the Prophet of the Sahaba Ikram, after the initial generations, the Shaykh will not answer to the student. The student may be disrespectful and not good manners, but the Shaykh will stay silent. But the student will lose out because his deeds will go to waste. Why is he sitting here on this prayer mat? Why did Shaykh do this? And he gave this person this dhikr. He didn't give me this dhikr. He's treating this person nice and me not nicely. Everyone has different treatment. Everyone has different capacity. Or Shaykh Sahib said, this is for this student, but he didn't give to me. Why don't I receive the same thing? This is called opposing the Shaykh. And this is a big, this is a very bad action. Very unfortunate action. And the consequence is that his bayah, his connection with the Shaykh is broken, and he has no link with the Shaykh or the Zilzala. And وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, that the student thinks, I'm fine. But when he rises up on the Day of Judgment, he'll have no link with the Shaykh. He will have no link, no connection. All the dhikr he did will have gone to waste under the river. Nothing at all. So if the Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, were told by Allah that you will not see your deeds will go to vain, waste, then how cautious should we be? We need to be thousands more cautious. And a person, if he does, is like this, he just suspects the Shaykh, questions the Shaykh, criticizes the Shaykh, doubts the Shaykh, opposes the Shaykh, then the bayah is broken. The student then has to connect with the Shaykh, do bayah again, new, fresh. So a person, whether you're in front of the Shaykh or not, or behind the Shaykh, or the Shaykh's not, as the Sahab said this, he shouldn't have said this, or Shaykh, my teacher said this, or he shouldn't have said this, you should have practiced like this, or what if this was like this? That is, even that itself is opposition. If you're drinking water out of the well, why do you create defects in the well? You're getting fresh, pure, nice water to drink, and you're criticizing the well. So if you see, maybe this will occur as well, if you think that there is something lacking in the Shaykh, in the teacher, something that the Shaykh said maybe was out different or maybe not great, then consider that it's the student should consider, it's my fault. I have a lack of understanding. I am not capable to understand from the Shaykh. I'm not worthy. So this is the path. This is the path. Very valuable and delicate, and a beautiful and great usools and principles regards to the connection between the student and the Shaykh. And the person who follows this path with the principles, then he will fly in the air of the tasawwuf. But if we don't have the wajah, and this is also a problem, that we should have total i'tiqad and belief and conviction in the Shaykh, that Whoever is looking at the shirk, whatever he is receiving from wherever and however, i'tiqad, total trust that my shaykh's fares is what is coming to me. So whether you feel nur and light and strength of iman, and you see good dreams, and then you say that everything is due to my shaykh, everything is barakat-e-shaykh, and this is the ihtiram, the manners of a student, that doesn't matter what goodness he gets in his life, he accepts that it's due to the barakat of a shaykh. And if the student detracts and comes offline and looks towards other people, other leaders, etc., then Allah Ta'ala says that this is a big loss because you've betrayed your teacher. You don't have trust in your teacher. So what is the sabak, the lesson here? What is the lesson? So here, the salik, who follows this line, this path, and he considers he's correct, and he reads this verse, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah says, if you don't have manners and respect for your teacher, then your deeds will be going to waste, and you won't even know. So we need to seek the mistakes in this path ourselves. Even if we don't think we've got any defects, we should say, Shaykh Sahab, please forgive me. And if we say, oh, I've made a mistake today, this, then become alert straight away, suddenly. Don't waste a second, because then the sawwar will stop, the safu will stop, and your path of tazkiyah will stop if you don't recognize your mistakes. But if you do ask for forgiveness, what difference does it make to us? Even if we didn't make a mistake, and you ask for forgiveness, he says, no, you didn't do anything. No, the student says, it looks like, Hazrat, I did something out of respect, disrespect or bad, or not a good action, not good manners, and I felt that we were here in a gathering, and I did this, or I said this to you, and I came to your majlis, and it looks to me, I feel that maybe I did something wrong. So to this point, there should be so much adab and manners. And the sahaba ikram, radiyallahu anhum, their gatherings were totally like this with regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the teacher, the supreme, and the sahaba ikram would sit there in front. And how would they sit? That never did it happen that they lifted their faces to see the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from their eyes. They would lower their faces, and their ears were alert, and they'd be very alertful when they listened to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew that the guidance that's coming to us is coming via who? The Prophet, from Allah, via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we don't have this aqeedah that wherever I'm going, that the words that will come, will be bi-ithnillah, everything I learned, the tazkiyah, tasawwuf, the teacher, his directions, his guidance, his framework, everything is from Allah. I'm going to a majlis, I'm going to a gathering, I'm going to the majlis of such a person, that my islah will be direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I have raised my feet and trod on this path due to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and I want to get close to Allah. So there are many solutions here that we need to understand. So the student who is traveling on the path of Allah to attain Allah ta'ala's nearness, Allah ta'ala says, you have so much respect and beyond that you cannot even imagine for the teacher, that the whole heavens and the earth, they are respecting this person. Who is this person? He's traveling on the path to get close to Allah, and he wants to rectify himself and do his tazkiyah. So he washes, he bathes, he says, today I'll get some islah, some message from Allah, I'll be listening, and then inshallah I'll do my islah. And for example, today if the student complains, oh, I went to the majlis, and as soon, nowadays especially this happens when brothers leave our majlis, they say, oh, I was scolded today and told off today by Hazrat, look how many shoes were thrown at me. These are, for example, statements we make. Oh, look how much Shaykh told me, how much dhikr do you do, why didn't you do enough, why didn't you do this, and we criticize, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, wa antum la tashurun. I will make your faces and bodies like donkeys. Allah will say that, were you coming to get close to me, or were you coming to challenge me or oppose me? My wali, who is your teacher, were you coming to oppose him and criticize him and speak against him? The Allah Ta'ala said that I destined this Shaykh as your teacher so he can implement his duty and serve you and teach my name to you, and you used to criticize my worker. Allah says that one grain of the lentil due to that person who respected Allah Ta'ala forgave that man. So tell me, if we respect Allah Ta'ala's beloved wali, then what will be our consequence then? Allah, if we disrespect the wali of Allah, then what will be our very bad negative consequence? So this is a very delicate chapter, delicate path of subject of Islam, of the tasawwuf. Hazrat, the other Shaykh, Hazrat Ali bin Wafa, Rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him, I remember his statement. He said that when you sit in front of the Shaykh, the student, then lower your gaze. And I said, yeah, if you keep looking at the Shaykh and keep looking and staring at him, then prepare that Allah Ta'ala from your eyesight, from your bodies, Allah will remove haya, modesty. Haya will come out, Allah will remove that quality, and you will become the people who are behaya, without haya. So yes, if you look, but you lower your gaze. If you look again and you suddenly see, if you meet your eyes continuously and you speak with your looking and you put your eyes into the eyes of the Shaykh and speak openly, directly, and higher voice, this is called disrespect and bad akhlaq, bad manners. So the sahaba ikram would sit quietly, humbly, lower their heads, their faces, they wouldn't stare at the Prophet. This was totally against adab, they said, totally against the manners. Because this was not the habit. Allah Ta'ala had taught them, trained them, coached them. So adab, when it comes into the heart, the adab will draw on the manners and the respect for the teacher. And the student will look at the teacher with awe. There'll be so much awe and reverence in the heart. The question doesn't arise that the student will look directly by putting his face into the face of the teacher or laugh with his teeth showing and joke, etc. Because phase will finish. Because to attain Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat and nur, then Allah prepares the student. That when you get to the maqam of the student, the teacher, then what will happen to you? So how Allah prepares the salik, the traveler on this path. So brothers, this is a very beautiful and a lengthy subject, and slowly, slowly we will discuss the points on this, the principles. So may Allah Ta'ala allow us to all to do amal on this and practice on this. The first step on the rung, my friends, adab of the sheikh. So if we don't succeed on this first rung of the ladder of tazkiyah, then our situation will be very dark and dangerous, and we will fail the body and spiritually and physically. All the learnings from the mashayikh, from the experience and the words that have come to us via the Quran and the Hadith, and they are linked with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with the Sahaba Ikram, and then to go to the majalis, the gatherings of the awliya Allah, the walis, all these things are what we need to think, we need to understand. And if we are following this line, this path as salik, then we need to accept the principles. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, all of us, to practice this. Ameen.